Morning, guys. Welcome to Tuesday Manna. Last week, if you remember, we kind of started a short series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we talked about love, and we really got to dive into God's love for us, and we talked about the gospel story, how he sent his son. Today, the next one, so we got love, joy, right? So today, I want to talk about joy. I wanted to go back a little bit. In Galatians 5, that's where we find the fruit of the Spirit. Paul is talking about the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. And he concludes that chapter with these amazing verses about the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in our lives. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23, just to review why we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, the attribute of joy today. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So these are the attributes that as Christians we should have daily, right? These are the things that through the Spirit, this is how we act. And joy is an amazing one. Now, I'm not talking about happiness, right? Happiness is when your favorite team wins the Super Bowl or wins the game that you thought that they would lose, or when your kid who's been working so hard finally accomplishes what they want. Now, those are happiness. Those are things that are based on what happens to us, right? I'm talking about the joy of the Lord, and that's something that nobody can take away from us. And it's something that I feel like sometimes we don't show enough, because I feel like when you show joy, people like, there's something different about that guy. He's too happy all the time, right? But the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And there's so many stories in the Bible that we could look to, but I want to look at 2 Samuel 6 today. But before we get into that, let's pray and let's invite God to join us and speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. And God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending your son, showing us your love, God. And we thank you for the joy that that can bring. God, I pray that as we read these verses today, as we hear your word, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us, God. That you would help that joy just shine through each of us. God, you are amazing. Thank you for who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so before we jump into 2 Samuel 6, let's give a little backstory here. So in 2 Samuel 6, David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem. Okay, it's been several different places. We know that the Ark is where the Ten Commandments lay. It's where there were some other things, right? But that was signified the presence of God. And they carried it around. We know that they would take it into battle as if God was leading them into battle. And that worked out great until they realized they started using it kind of as a lucky charm. Oh, it's the Ark. The Ark is the reason we're winning. So let's go to this battle that we want to do and we'll take the Ark. And it doesn't work that way. And we know that story. And the Philistines defeated them and took the Ark from them, right? Well, that was all in the past. Now David is bringing the Ark back to Jerusalem. And in this case, he actually does it. There's two different stories. The first one, he doesn't do it God's way. What they say is they get a new cart and they put oxen in front and they pull the Ark. And that's not how God commanded them to do it. And because of that, as it was going, the oxen stumbled and a man named Uzzah reached out to grab the Ark, right? It seems like that's a good thing to do. I'm going to help make sure nothing falls. And because of that, the anger of God was kindled against them. I'm not sure if David just forgot, didn't think about how the Ark was supposed to be transferred. I mean, that's how the Philistines did it, right? The Philistines put it on a cart and they carried it. But in the Old Testament, they were supposed to carry it with men walking, carrying the Ark, right? So the first time he did it, it wasn't right. But the second time is where the joy comes, because David realizes that he was wrong. He realizes the power of God and the majesty of God. And with joy, he brings the Ark into Jerusalem. And that's the story that we're going to read today. We needed some background, but we're going to pick it up. So this is after Uzzah died. David was scared, and he left the Ark where it was. He actually left it in the house of a foreigner, Obed-Edom, a Gittite, right? And it's funny because it says that the Lord blessed it while it was there. So David went back. He did some studying, realized how the Ark should have been carried, came back and did it the right way. And that's where we're going to pick it up. And the focus, so just, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the joy. After that situation, right, joy might not come, right? People might see what happened to us and be like, I can't be joyful about that. But I want you to see the joy that is with David in this. So 2 Samuel 6, we're going to start in verse 12, and I'll probably finish out the chapter. So let's read with me. 6, verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went out and brought up the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, carrying it like they should, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sound of trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both women and men, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins, so that all people departed, everyone to their house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of these base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I am held in honor." Therefore, Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So, the joy that is in David. Let's talk about it. So Michal accuses him of, you know, uncovering himself. It was essentially, he didn't have his royal robes on. He had a linen ephod like everybody else was dressed. So you couldn't identify him as king, right? And he was dancing. So he was dressed like everyone else. You wouldn't have known he was the king. And I think that's what offended her, right? Her dad was always dressed as the king. He looked the part. And David didn't in this. And this was a big ceremony in which David should look like a king. But David was so full of joy that the ark of the Lord was coming back to where it should be, right? Coming back to Jerusalem. He was so full of joy. So let's think about that. There's going to be times where our joy, and other people will see it. And in this case, people that we love, because it doesn't say it once in this verse, but Michal is David's wife. It's interesting when you see how the Bible identifies people, because not once did it say Michal, David's wife, right? It said Michal, Saul's daughter. So it's like those people closest to us sometimes can take down our joy. And it's like, no, this isn't for me. David had such an amazing statement, right? "I am doing this for the Lord, right? And I'll be humble in my own eyes, and everyone else I'll be held in honor," because he was humble. And because so there will be people that will try to take your joy. And sometimes it's those close to us. Sometimes it's, you know, we're all going through hard times. There's hard things that happened. It's not easy to always be joyful before the Lord. And I think we need to make sure that we see where our joy is at, because there's hard times that we're going to go through. God promises he'll be there with us. And there's a time for mourning, right? There's a time for laughter. But a Christian should also be known as a person of joy. That when you're around people, you're a joyful person, right? It's an attribute of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. And I couldn't think of a better verse than this, just to see David dance. And I mean, a lot of people will point to the worship of God. I mean, worship is an amazing way to express our joy. So my challenge for you today, as we go out, I want you to have a conscious awareness of where your joy is, right? Be that person who's joyful. You might not be happy all the time, because like I said, that's based on what happens to you. That base is based on your happenings. But the joy of God is based on what God has done, what God has done for us, right? What we talked about last week, the gospel story, the forgiveness of our sins through his son. Nobody can take that away from you. We can let that go, but nobody can take it. That joy is ours. So live that joy out, and other people will see it, and they will want that. And guess what? There's your opportunity. Witness to that person. Share the love of Jesus with them. How Jesus loves you, he also loves them. That's my challenge. Be joyful today. Have an amazing day. Thanks, guys.